When you've sat through enough press conferences, things get blurry. One minute, it's a David Cameron type of chap explaining how income inequality strikes a deeply rooted chord, even though his family owns Panama. While the next, it's a gentleman suspiciously similar to Benjamin Netanyahu arguing for ethnic cleansing with a straight face. That's the feeling I get after all the recent summits and economic forums taking place. For the most part, one can predict with a decent amount of certainty how big shots will stick to their characters at these things. Because the majority of politicians are no less of a marketing brand than Coca-Cola, say. Where the tycoons and industrialists, aka the real electorate, have already bet on a certain character, and they favor Coke. Not Diet Coke, not Black Cherry Vanilla Coke, not even the sweeter New Coke. Looking at some leaders, though, makes one question why politics needs characters to begin with, when truth is so much more entertaining. I'm Nick Blake, and today, we take on Dirty Harry.
Let me give you some perspective from the Philippines. The world's Rorschach test. I see an upside-down feather and my father's disappointment. Their presidential election takes place tomorrow, and the current frontrunner is Rodrigo Duterte, and he is a colorful character, to say the least.
Rodrigo Duterte is far from your average politician. His off-the-cuff remarks are legendary.
Now, Duterte has also suggested, if elected, he would kill 5 criminals every week, which may not be an idle promise, since he's been mayor, extrajudicial death squads have reportedly killed over 1,000 people, and while he denies any involvement in that, he does admit he's got blood on his hands. Yet, incredibly, none of this has hurt him. More than half of his city's residents think the death squad is okay, which is a surprisingly measured response. Some death squads, yeah, they're okay. Could be deathier, I suppose. Hashtag squad goals.
That was John Oliver talking about one of many notable instances Rodrigo Duterte's presidency had in store. The ex-mayor of Davao City has done it all before. Human rights agencies are ringing alarm bells, not in the least due to Dirty Harry's stating, quote, "I don't care about human rights." Believe me. The Time recently published an article in which the so-called Punisher, currently leading the Philippines, was linked to instigating over 2,400 drug-related deaths across the country. Frankly, it comes as no surprise, since in the run-up to presidential elections, Duterte openly urged armed citizens to kill drug dealers. Mind you, the Philippines is a country of 100 million people, 2-3% of whom, according to various estimates, are drug users. That doesn't sound as drastic of a drug problem compared to some neighborhoods in London where members of parliament get away for a snuggle with male prostitutes. But Duterte has pushed on nevertheless, cutting social spending and increasing military for more security. I wonder if Rodrigo considered for a moment the often cited example of Portugal, when in early 2000s Portugal shifted drug control from the Justice Department to the Ministry of Health and decriminalized all substances. Czech Republic, Holland, Mexico. These states decriminalized drugs for personal consumption. They spent more on education than force and, as a result, have freed up resources to go after the big fish. Not the street hustlers, as some media outlets would have you believe, that are dying by the dozens in the Philippines every day, but cartel-scale operations. Despite the evidence to the contrary, Duterte clearly thinks muscle is the way to go. To get a perspective on the issue, we turn to the late George Carlin talking about killing people, but legally.
The same way we made up the death penalty. We made them both up, sanctity of life and the death penalty. Aren't we versatile? And you know, in this country now, there are a lot of people who want to expand the death penalty to include drug dealers. This is really stupid. Drug dealers aren't afraid to die. They're already killing each other every day on the streets by the hundreds. Drive-bys, gang shootings, they're not afraid to die. Death penalty doesn't mean anything unless you use it on people who are afraid to die. Like the bankers who launder the drug money. The bankers who launder the drug money. Forget the dealers. You want to slow down that drug traffic, you got to start executing a few of these f***ing bankers. White, middle-class Republican bankers. And I'm not talking about soft American executions like lethal injection. I'm talking about f***ing crucifixion, folks. Let's bring back crucifixion, a form of capital punishment that Christians and Jews of America can really appreciate. And I'd go a little further. I'd crucify people upside down. Like St. Peter, feet up, head down, and naked. I'd have naked upside down crucifixions on TV once a week at halftime of the Monday night football game.
That was George Carlin hinting in a way that things are not as straightforward as our leaders would like us to see. In the words of Bill Hicks, anyone that far on either of the political spectrum must be hiding a deep, dark secret. It makes sense, you know. How can one explain Duterte calling U.S. President Obama a son of a whore without alluding to Rodrigo's dragon chase? Turns out, it was the exchange that took place after a reporter asked Duterte about how he intends to explain the wave of murders in his country on the rise to Barack Obama. Classic, don't tell me what to do moment there. On the other hand, they don't call Duterte the Punisher for nothing. In an interview to a Philippine news station, the 71-year-old president looked straight into the camera and said that he had personally killed three people within the previous 3 months. That level of frankness hasn't yet reached Western shores, where politicians would rather set up sanctions and quarrel over back taxes than talk shop. Rodrigo Duterte, however, doesn't like to hide behind empty slogans and bureaucracies. Just listen to his response directed at a UK journalist when asked about climbing extrajudicial killings.
Look, Padilla said 2 years ago, there are 3 million addicts in this country. That was the last figure. Nobody cared to find out. Now it's my time. So, between 2 years ago and now, how many do you think were hooked into drugs? Let us give it incremental increase of about, just be liberal, about 700,000. So 3,700,000. And the confirmed 600,000 now was surrendered and took the test for drug addiction. How do you call it? Just a problem? Is just a police problem? Or is it really a crisis for this country? It's not even epidemic, my friend. It is pandemic. So what am I supposed to do as a president? Empower the military and the police, for after all, they are there to protect the integrity and preserve the people of the Philippines.
That was Rodrigo Duterte himself sharing his views about the scope of the drug problem in his country. Despite a violent start of his presidency and numerous outrageous statements, Dirty Harry still managed to get a nod from Obama at a later get-together following his remarks about Ann Dunham, Obama's mom, at the G20 summit in Chinese city of Hangzhou. The U.S. leader acknowledged the war on drugs in Philippines, saying, however, that there is a right way to conduct this operation. Duterte curses him out, and Obama just shrugs it off, adding lip service to the bad boy persona. Barack probably did not mean the U.S. as an example to follow, since the war on drugs in the land of the free and home of the brave has serious drawbacks of its own. Here's Bill Hicks with more.
George Bush says we are losing the war on drugs. Well, you know what that implies? There's a war going on, and people on drugs are winning it. Well, what does that tell you about drugs? Some smart, creative motherfuckers on that side. They're winning a war, and they're fucked up. A lot of y'all don't even know you're fighting, do you? You're sitting there going, fuck, I'm watching Saturday Night Live. Are we winning? I feel like my flank is covered. Honey, bring me a beer. I got a war to win.
War is that?
You know, the war on drugs is hypocrisy, man. That's why it's not going to work. It's a lie. Alcohol and cigarettes kills more people than crack, coke, and heroin combined. So the war on drugs is really sort of a suck, isn't it? You alcoholics are going, shit, we're next. If they're fighting drugs, we can be taken. Drug guys are creative motherfuckers. We're just obnoxious, man. We're fucking out there.
That was Bill Hicks illuminating us that the war on drugs is at least a counterproductive measure on a nationwide scale. And while presidents keep ignoring success stories for similar types of problems across the world, the answers remain unsolved. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.